الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we had began reading what the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى about the pillars of الصلاة. Whenever he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى وأركان الصلاة أربعة أشارة, and the pillars of salah they are 14. And we had read in our previous class the first pillar, which is al-qiyamu ma'a al-qudra, is to stand for the one who has the ability. We have seen some of the details that the people of knowledge they have mentioned with regards to this pillar. After this, the author he says rahimahullah ta'ala ar-ruknu al-thani. الركن الثاني, the second pillar, تكبيرة الإحرام, والدليل الحديث, تحريمها التكبير, وتحليلها التسليم. The author he says, and the second pillar is تكبيرة الإحرام. تكبيرة الإحرام, the تكبيرة of الإحرام. And the evidence for this is the narration whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he mentioned tahrimuha at-takbir wa tahliluha at-taslim, referring to the salah that its sacred state begins, one enters into this sacred rite of performing salah by making the takbir, meaning saying Allahu Akbar, and then one exits and leaves out of that sacred state and returns and to the normal state that he was in before, with a taslim, by making the taslim. So here the second pillar is takbiratu al-ihram. Takbirah is literally the masdar, or is marra takbiratan, yani wahida, from the masdar takbir, which the verb is kabbara. يُكَبِّرُ كَبِّرْ تَكْبِيرًا. And Allah, he mentioned, and Allah, he ordered in his book, وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. And takbir, literally, it means to glorify Allah, to glorify Him and to praise Him, to glorify Him and to honor Him and to hold Him high, to hold Him in high regards and honor and majesty and glory. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, to magnify Him. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. And also from the meanings of takbir is to say Allahu Akbar. And that's the statement of takbir, of glorification and magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is intended by takbir is the statement Allahu Akbar. Is the statement Allahu Akbar. But this is from those affairs that not only are they a statement on the tongue, likewise to truly benefit, it must be a statement in the heart as well. Meaning a person, he will say that with his tongue and he will mean that in his heart. And he will mean that in his heart. So this is the second pillar, to say Allahu Akbar. To say Allahu Akbar, takbiratu al-ihram. And the people of knowledge, they mention specifically takbiratu al-ihram. And if the one that is in al-ihram. And al-ihram, it literally means to enter into a state of hurma. Ad-dukhulu fil hurma. Ad-dukhulu fil hurma. Yani fi hurmati salah. So takbiratu al-ihram is the takbira, or the statement Allahu Akbar, that upon pronouncing that, a person he enters into the sacred rites of a salah. Upon pronouncing that, a person he enters into the sacred rites of a salah. And now many affairs that were previously before that permissible for him, they become impermissible. They become impermissible. Before he made takbiratul ihram, it was allowed for him to talk, allowed for him to drink, allowed for him to move and to walk, and the likes like this, allowed for him to eat and to do a number of affairs, allowed for him to laugh, so on and so forth. But after entering into this sacred state of as-salah, it's not allowed for him anymore. It's not allowed. These affairs are not allowed for him anymore so long as he is in that sacred state. So this is from the wisdom of this tasmiyah, or the name takbiratu al-ihram. Takbiratu al-ihram. And the takbirat in the salat, there are two types. Takbiratu al-ihram, and this is what we're discussing here, which is the very first takbirah, and the very first statement, Allahu Akbar, that by way of that one enters into the sacredness of the salat. And then the other takbirat, they come following that. Whenever one is moving from one position to the next, and those are known as takbirat al-intiqal. Takbirat al-intiqal, the takbirat of moving from one position to the other, of moving from one position to the other. And as we will see, the author, he mentioned that these are from the wajibat of the salat, and not from the pillars. The first takbirah, takbiratul ihram, this is the pillar. Meaning that if a person did not bring it, his salat would not be considered correct if he forgot, or if he neglected it on purpose, or if he simply did not know, his prayer will not be established except by bringing the takbirah, takbiratul ihram. And what the author he is referring to as the evidence for this is the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Abu Dawood and other than him, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, miftahu salati al-tuhur, miftahu salati al-tuhur, that the key to the salat is al-tuhur, yani al-tahara, is purification. A person, he must purify himself from the hadith and likewise from the khabith, as has proceeded in the shurut of salat. Miftahu salati al-tuhur, wa tahrimuha al-takbir, wa tahriruha al-taslim. وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ وَتَحْرِيرُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the key to the salah is purification, and being purified from the filth and the impurities, and likewise being purified from the ahdath, and the spiritual, to lift the spiritual impurities, and likewise to lift the physical impurities. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that it one enters into that sacred state with a takbir. وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ. And this is the shahid for the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَتَحْرِيمُهَا التَّكْبِيرُ. That tahrim yani al-ihram. It's also known as takbiratul tahrim, takbiratul ihram, because in this manner a person, he enters into that sacred rite. And now likewise, a number of affairs that are normally permissible become impermissible in his right until he finishes the prayer. وَتَحْرِيرُهَا التَّسْلِيمُ. And he is not freed from that sacred right, and those affairs do not become permissible again for him until he makes التسليم. Until he makes التسليم. Yani on the right and on the left. On the right and on the left. So this is a well-known narration. The people of knowledge, they have agreed in general that it's an obligation, to make this takbirah upon standing. We have seen that in the previous class, and this is why the people of Nara, as they mentioned, that this is the second pillar. The second pillar is to make the takbirah to the ihram. But before that, there must be qiyam. Before that, one must be standing. And in reality, everything that is before takbirah to the ihram is not salah. It's not considered salah. So a person, he's not in salah until he makes takbiratul ihram. But they mentioned the obligation of standing before that. They mentioned the condition and the obligation of standing before that as an indication that the takbirah must be while one is standing. Takbiratul ihram takunu an qiyam. Takunu an qiyam lil qadir. For the one who is able, he must make the takbiratul ihram while he is standing. So this likewise is a reminder of that which has preceded in the previous class for those who maybe have an excuse in general to pray a portion of their prayer while they're sitting down. But if they're able to stand, at least for the takbirah al-ihram, they must do that. And then if it's difficult for them after that, they will sit down. And if they're able to stand the whole time, and the reason why they sit down is because they cannot make the ruku or the sujood, then they only sit down whenever it's time to make the ruku or the sujood, and the obligation of standing remains upon them the whole time. That is legislated to stand in the prayer. The point now is that takbiratul ihram takunu an qiyam. This is from the conditions of that. So if a person, he had the ability to stand, and he's praying the obligatory prayer, and he sat down, and he made takbiratul ihram, then his prayer would not be considered correct, and he had not entered into the prayer. And he would have to repeat that. Likewise, if a person, he is going into ruku, sometimes people are hastening, coming to catch the imam, and they'll rush to catch the imam while the imam is in ruku, and they'll start making ruku, and halfway through the ruku, they say, Allahu Akbar. They say Allahu Akbar for takbiratul ihram, but they're not in qiyam, Rather, they're closer to ruku' than they are the qiyam. Then likewise, this is not considered proper, and this is not considered correct. The takbiratul ihram, it has to be performed while one is standing. It has to be performed while one is standing, so long as a person, he's able to stand. As for if he's not able to stand, then he will make the takbirah in any position that he's praying. So if he's from those who are praying while he's sitting down, then he'll make the takbirah while he's sitting down. And if he's from those who are praying while he's lying down, then he'll make the takbirah while he's lying down. And this is in the case for the one who does not have the ability to stand. So the one who does not have the ability to stand in the obligatory prayer, then he'll make the takbirah in any manner that he's praying. In any manner that he is praying. So if he's praying sitting down, then he makes the takbirah while he's sitting down. And if he's lying down, then he makes the takbirah while he's lying down. And this is from the ease and the facilitation in the religion whenever a person, he does not have the ability, or whenever there are extreme hardships that one is facing in certain circumstances and situations. So for the takbirat al-ihram to be correct, for this pillar to be established properly, there are conditions, and in general, for it to be proper. And from that, in the obligatory prayer, is that when he makes that statement, he makes the takbirat al-ihram and qiyam, while he is standing. And likewise, he must bring this term here exactly as it is, without changing it. He must say, Allahu Akbar. He couldn't bring another means of glorification and praise, even if it's something that is true, even if it's a statement that in general is good and praiseworthy and something beloved to Allah. In this place here, what he must bring this term precisely, he must say Allahu Akbar. He could not say Allahu A'zam, for example, or Allahu Ajal, which is no doubt Allah is A'zam, he's the greatest. It has a very similar meaning to Allahu Akbar. Wa Allahu Ajal, and Allah, he is the most noble and honorable. Allahu Akram, and the likes like this. All of these statements here, they are no doubt true statements and means of praising Allah Azza wa Jal. But as for takbiratul ihram, they will not suffice. One could not say likewise, Allahu Kabir, Allahu Kabir, or anything other than that. Rather, he must bring the term as it is, Allahu Akbar. And then likewise, he must pronounce it in this manner. Even many of the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, it would not be considered correct even if he put the al in the word akbar. If he said Allahu al-akbar, Allahu al-akbar, likewise, this is not correct. Likewise, this is not correct for takbiratul ihram. You couldn't say Allahu al-akbar, and the meaning is very similar. And there's an understanding with regards to that. Allahu, he is Al-Akbar, no doubt about that. He is the greatest. But here, what is intended is Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. The meaning in summarization, Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. So it must be in this manner. Allahu Akbar. And the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, likewise, it's allowed to elongate the lam on Ismul Jalala, on the term Allah. It's allowed to, without going to extremes, without going to what's considered a tamtit, and elongating in a manner that is blameworthy, or elongating in a manner that is disturbing, or elongating in a manner that's not proper. So there is an elongation there in the origin. Allah. You say the word Allah. So the lam, it has, whenever it's written, we find that it has the small alif there on top of the lam. It has a shadda on the lam, and then it has a small alif on top. This is indicating the elongation. So there's elongation there. One who'll not say Allah. It's Allah with an elongation on the lam. Allah. Allah. But one will not elongate it into a manner that is takes it out of its proper understanding, or takes it out of the proper manner in speaking in the Arabic language. So some people, they will go to extremes with that, and they will sing the term, or they'll stretch it in a manner that's going beyond the limits, Allah, and the likes like this for a long time, and this is improper and not allowed. And this is something that is disliked. The Salaf, they used to dislike that. The Salaf, they used to dislike this tamtit, and to elongate the elongations in a manner that is beyond the limits of a tajweed, and beyond what is known in the Arabic language, and likewise by making the voice bounce up and down, so on and so forth. And the likes, all of this is disliked. So one, he will elongate the lam on Ismul Jalala, but he will not go to extremes in that. Allahu Akbar. Like this, this is all allowed. This is all allowed. Shaykh Sulaiman al-Ruhayri, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this issue that sometimes the mu'adhinun, those who repeat after the imam, any some of the masajid, they'll go to extremes in that. And he remembers one time, any previously, any before, any some time ago, that there was an imam in al-Masjid al-Nabawi, and he was leading the prayer, and there was a new mu'adhin. And the new mu'adhin, yani after the imam, he had made the takbir for rising up from the sujood. The mu'adhin, he continued with his takbir until all the way until the imam, he started the recitation. So the imam, he's coming up from sujood, he said Allahu Akbar, and then he stands up and begins reciting, and the mu'adhin behind him is still making the takbir. Is still making the takbir, Allah, in this manner like this, and he already made the takbir, he already stood up, and then he began the recitation, and the man is not finished yet. The man is not finished, and he's stretching and elongating, and the likes like this. And some of the people of knowledge, they mention, it's as if they feel like they're full of their self at that moment, or the likes like this, just listening to their own words, elongating and elongating for no necessary reason, and this is not proper. He mentioned that particular imam, he reprimanded that muadhin on the microphone after that. Reprimanded him in that manner on the microphone. Yani, so this is a great reprimand for that individual. And this is not proper. So therefore, one, he will not go to extremes in that. Not in the salah and not in the adhan. Not in the salah and not in the adhan. So this is in reference to the salah. Any whenever the muadhin or those who are appointed to make the tabligh, any the muballigh or the mustamli, the one who's repeating after the imam to let those know behind him the position and what the imam is mentioning, any who are relayed behind the imam, the takbirat and the likes like this, any this likewise will not be in extremes, will not be in extremes. When he will say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it's an elongation there, but not in an extreme manner. But not in an extreme manner. Likewise, some people, they will put the elongation in places that are not proper or does not belong, and thus changing the meaning. And thus changing the meaning. And the people of knowledge, the scholars of the Arabic language, particularly in Sarf and Nahu, and particularly in morphology and in grammar, they mention a principle that in some short wording, ziyadatu fil mabna, ziyadatun fil ma'na, that if there's any increase or addition in the structure of the word, that indicates an addition or a changing in the meaning. A changing in the meaning. So these elongations, they have meaning. So there are places for them, and putting them in their proper places bring the meaning that is intended. And putting them in a place where they don't belong could literally change the meaning. Could literally change the meaning. So some people, they'll put the elongation in the beginning of the word Allah, and they'll say Allah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? Hadha istifham, hamza til istifham. Hamza til istifham is the hamza of asking a question. So now, instead of magnifying Allah Azza wa Jalla and informing those behind him Allahu Akbar, that Allah is greater, meaning a greater than everything, he's now asking them, is Allah greater? Allahu Akbar. Now it's like he's, Allahu Akbar, is Allah greater? Or even it could be understood in a worse light, and that is to say that he's doubting. Is Allah greater? Waliyadhu billah. So the meaning is not proper. And in that elongation, it changes the proper meaning to a meaning that's not intended, even to a meaning that could be considered corrupt. And very corrupt. And to doubt the fact that Allah is greater. Waliyadhu billah. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So therefore, one, he will pronounce it properly to the best of his ability, without going to extremes. Without going to extremes. And likewise, on the word أَكْبَر as well, it has to be pronounced properly. And if the elongation is placed in the wrong place, it could change the meaning. So somebody may say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, thinking that, you know, this is something beautiful. Some people that do that, they have no knowledge of the Arabic language, or even some people that I've heard, they speak the Arabic language, but they're not aware of these rulings and the likes like this, and they'll just elongate the elongations in places that are not proper. And this changes the meaning. And the word Akbar, it has a meaning, and it's the plural of Kabr. It's the plural of Kabr. Kabarun wa Akbar. Kabar wa Akbar, like Sabab and Asbab. Sabab, Asbab. On that scale, Kabr, Akbar. So the Kabr is the Tabl. is the duf. The kabr is the drums that people beat on. That people beat on. And akbar, their drums, their tubul, their drums. So now as he's calling this, he's calling Allah this. If he said that Allahu akbar, Allah is the akbar. Now the akbar, and he like this. So this is a bad meaning or likewise. It's definitely not intended. It's not proper nor is it correct. It's not proper nor is it correct. So this, if a person is making the takbir like this, then his takbir is not correct. It's not correct. He has to learn how to say it properly. Allahu Akbar. Along with the fact that he will not go to extremes, he will not go to the whispers of the shaitan. Oh, did he make it long? Oh, I think he made it long. Oh, are we in salah? Is our salah even proper? And the likes like this, and he's thinking in great detail and going into intricate details and thinking about one's own salat or the takbira, one's own takbira or the takbira of the imam, so on and so forth. This is not necessary. This is not required. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. And somebody will make it difficult, and he will not be able to bear that. And he will not be able to bear that. Waliyadu billah. So you just say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in this manner like this, without going to extremes. So no doubt, especially for us in America, we have to learn how to pronounce it properly. But at the same time, a person will do his best. And this is all an indication of the obligation of learning from a teacher. From learning from a teacher. Al-Qur'an wa la yu'khadhu an al-mushaf. The Qur'an is not taken from the mushaf, and it's not taken from the mushafi. The Qur'an is not taken from the book, from the scripture. You don't learn by yourself, by reading the scripture by yourself. And you don't learn from people who learn from the books only. Rather, the proper way to learn is to learn from those people who they themselves sat at the feet of the people of knowledge, and they learn from their lips, and they saw from their manners and etiquettes. This is the manner to learn. And those who are blessed with the likes of this teacher, then they will be saved from many calamities and hardships and difficulties, and likewise from many roadblocks in the path of seeking knowledge and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those who seek to learn by themselves or seek to learn from people who learn by themselves, then many times they will find many roadblocks in that path and many difficulties and hardships, and they will be delayed if they even make it. They'll be delayed if they even make it to their destination and their goal that they're seeking, which is to obtain proper and sound, profound Islamic knowledge and to be steadfast on the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from the means to do that is to have a teacher that will clarify the likes of these affairs. That will clarify in detail the likes of these affairs, how to make the takbir, how to say it, how to pronounce it, how to recite the Quran, how to recite the hadith, how to pronounce the Arabic letters, and the likes like this, and how to understand the book in the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf of the Ummah. So this is something that is very important. This is something that is very important. As for to pronounce it out loud, no doubt the Imam, he will pronounce it out loud, and the Ma'mum will pronounce it to himself, and it's a requirement. I need to pronounce it. And a person, he could not make takbiratul ihram in his mind or in his heart. He has to move his lips. He has to move his lips. So it wouldn't be sufficient if a person, for example, to make the takbirah in his mind, in his heart, without moving his lips. The lips, they have to move. The lips, they have to move. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention it has to be enough to pronounce it, at least to where he can hear it himself. But Allah knows best, that's not necessarily a condition where he himself, he can hear his own voice. But he has to pronounce it. He'll pronounce it to himself. He will pronounce it to himself. This is the minimum requirement. So if a person, he's praying by himself, the minimum requirement is that he'll pronounce it. He'll pronounce it to himself. He'll move his lips and he'll pronounce the takbirah. And he will say that properly, Allahu Akbar. But if a person, he's the ma'mum, he's going to say it to himself and be even more quiet. Because it's not allowed to disturb others in the prayer. And some people, they will disturb others in the prayer. And they will make the takbirah, thinking that they're saying it to themselves, but really, really 5 to 6 people on the right and left can all hear him. Can all hear every time he says Allahu Akbar. He thinks he's saying it on his breath, but he's saying it out loud. And not only the person next to him is disturbed, but maybe three or four or five more people next to him likewise are disturbed from his takbirah, from his takbirah, and likewise from the rest of the adhkar in the prayer. So this is not proper. So the one who's praying behind the imam, he will say it, and he will move his tongue, but he will say it silently into himself. And the people next to him will not be able to hear him, or to barely hear him. Or if it's heard, it's not in a manner that's disturbing them. So this is something likewise that is very important. The point is now for the condition of the takbirah, at least to be correct, it must be pronounced. Again, the imam, he will say it out loud. And as for those who are praying behind the imam, they do not say it out loud. Not in the obligatory prayer, not in the obligatory daily prayers, not in the Jumu'ah prayer, not in the Eid prayer, and not in the janazah. We find that many times that people, they will not make the takbirah out loud, praying behind the imam in the normal prayers, but then if they pray in janazah, or if it comes to the Salat al-Eid, and the likes like this, suddenly they start making the takbirah out loud. And this is not correct. And the Al-Lajna Al-Da'imah in Al-Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya, Harasaha Allah, they have given the fatwa that this is an innovation. That this is an innovation in the Eid prayer for the Ma'amum to raise his voice with the takbirat is an innovation, and it's not from the Sunnah. So the Ma'amum, his position always with regards to the takbirat, takbirat al-ihram, and also the takbirat al-intiqal, is that he will say it to himself. He will not be reciting it or saying it out loud. He will not be saying it out loud. Not in the obligatory prayer. Not in the Jumu'ah prayer. Not in the Eid prayer. Not in the Janazah prayer. Not in any prayer. Rather, he will say it to himself and suffice with that. And Allah knows best. He will say it to himself and suffice with that. And Allah knows best. But this statement here, this takbirah, takbirah al-ihram, this is a statement on the tongue, but likewise it's a creed in the heart. A belief in the heart. And a person, he has to say it and mean it in his heart. And the one who says it and means it in his heart, then he will benefit greatly from his prayer. But the one who says it while his heart is heedless of the meaning, or forgetful and negligent of the meaning, or he does not understand properly the meaning, then he will not benefit greatly from his prayer. A number of the people of Nara, as they mentioned that Allahu Akbar, this statement, Allahu Akbar, ablagu thana'in, qalatu al-arab. Ablagu thana, the greatest means of praising. The greatest means of praising that the Arab have ever stated. The greatest praise that the Arab have ever stated is this statement here. Ablagu kalimatin, qalaha al-arabu fi al-ta'zimi wal-ijlal. Allahu Akbar. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا يعني وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ and glorify your Lord. So التكبير, again, it has the meaning to say Allahu Akbar, yani on the tongue. But what is understood from that is one is saying that Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Allah is greater. So here it's not mentioned Allah is Allahu Akbar min as-sama, for example. Allah is bigger than the heavens. It isn't, no doubt, Allah is bigger than the heavens. Allah is greater than the heavens. Allahu Akbar min ad-dunya. Allahu Akbar min ar-ra'is al-fulani. Allahu Akbar min kadha. It's not mentioned like that. It's left in the absolute sense, because Allah is greater than everything. Allah is greater than everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this is a great praise. So this is what it means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is greater. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. And anything that you can think of, anything in this life, anything in creation, anything under the heavens and the earth or contained therein, Allah is greater than that. Allah is greater than that. Everything in this life is creation, and the Creator, he's greater than all of that. He's greater than that in his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's greater than that in his knowledge. He's greater than that in his hearing and his seeing. He's greater than that in his wisdom and his justice. He's greater than that in his punishment and his retribution, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's greater than that in every aspect. In his honor and his majesty and his glory and his power and authority, he's greater. He's greater than every power, and greater than every authority, and more powerful and strong than anyone who has strength and power. And his life is perfect and absolute, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has the ability to do all things. So Allah, Allahu Akbar fi dhatihi, wa Allahu Akbar fi sifatihi, wa Allahu Akbar fi في قدره سبحانه وتعالى وقهره. Allah is bigger. Allah is greater. Allah is greater than everything in His essence. He's greater than everything in His attributes. And His attributes, those are people who have beautiful attributes, Allah is greater than them. And His attributes are greater than theirs. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people who are alive, Allah's life is greater than their life. Those people who can hear and see, Allah, His hearing and seeing is greater than their hearing and seeing. Although those from the creation that is vast, then Allah, He is greater than that in His essence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, He's greater in His wisdom. And He's greater in His love. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, he loves his child, Allah. He loves the believers greater. The love of Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar fi hubbihi wa fi bughdihi. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar fi ta'yidihi li awliyaihi wa akbar fi ta'adhibihi li a'da'ihi. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is greater. Allah is greater in His love for those who follow Him and obey Him and believe in Him and follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah is greater and more severe. Allah is greater in punishment for those who are His enemies, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that is major to remember this affair in one's life. Allah is greater than you. Allah is greater than me. Allah is greater than having a diploma. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than having a job. Allah is greater than a paycheck. A Benz and a Beamer, Allahu Akbar. He's greater than that. Allah is greater than that. And the Benz and the Beamer, if you have one, it's going to go away and you can't keep it forever. But as for Allah, Allahu Akbar, He remains forever. And you're going to go back to Him. And you're going to go back to Him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's greater than everything. He's greater than our jobs. He's greater than our lives. He's greater than our wives. He's greater than our children. He's greater than everything. There's nothing greater than Allah. Allahu Akbar. This is the meaning. There's nothing greater than Allah. So the one who realizes this meaning and he believes in it, this statement here at Takbirah, is an aqidah, and it's supposed to be rasikha fil qalb. It's supposed to be firm and established in the heart that there's nothing greater than Allah. Allah, He is greater than everything. Allah, He is greater than everything. And a person, he will realize this and realize that Allah, He is so great, we're not even able to praise Him in a manner that He deserves. We're not even able to praise Allah Azza wa Jalla in the manner that He deserves. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his night prayer, he would say, لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. لماذا؟ لأن الله أكبر. Because Allah is greater. لا أحصي ثناء عليك. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I'm not able to encompass the praises for you. لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. You are in the manner that you praise yourself. I'm not able to praise you in the manner that you deserve, that you are rightful. Because Allah is greater than that. If you think that you can praise Allah in the greatest manner, Allah is greater than that and greater than your praises and greater than what you thought. Allahu Akbar subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I cannot praise you in the manner that you deserve. That you're greater than my ability to praise you. You're greater than my ability to praise you. So then I praise you in the manner that you praise yourself. That I praise you in the manner that you praise yourself. Even on the day of resurrection, before the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeks permission for intercession, he will bow before Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah will inspire to him and reveal to him praises that he did not even know before. Praises, manners of praising and glorifying Allah that he did not even know before. Because Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar min kulli shay. Allah azza wa jalla, he is bigger than everything. So therefore, a person, he has to make the takbirah with his tongue. This is in general. In the prayer, outside of the prayer, whenever a person, he's making the takbirah anytime in his life, in the first 10 days of the Hijjah, and the days of Hajj, and the likes like this, or wherever one may be, whenever he sees something amazing that's legislated for a believer to say, Allahu Akbar, he'll make the takbir. He'll make the takbir. You see something amazing or hear something amazing, he'll say, Allahu Akbar. And this is the way of the Salaf, the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. If they seen something that was amazing or they heard something that was amazing, then they would glorify and praise Allah and mention that Allah is greater than that thing. Allahu Akbar. But today we find that some of the people, what do? Instead of saying Allahu Akbar, they clap their hands. Clap, 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 clap. Like this, following the Westerners. Following the Westerners and the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the believers, as for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they would not clap their hands. Rather, this was for women in the legislation of Allah. The women, they're the ones who clap their hands whenever the imam, he makes a mistake. Whenever the imam, he makes a mistake, the women, this legislated for them, they clap their hands. As for whenever a man, he hears or sees something that is amazing, that he likes, and the likes like this, then it's legislated for him to glorify Allah, to praise Allah, to say Allahu Akbar. So he'll say it with his tongue. and he will say it with his heart. So he has to say it with his tongue, and he has to mean it in his heart. And one will not truly be able to mean it in his heart until he learns who is Allah. The more he learns about Allah Azza wa Jal, the more one learns about Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning at-tawheed al-ilmi, the more one learns about Allah Azza wa Jal, at-tawheed al-ilmi, he learns about Allah's names and His attributes. So he learns about Allah's actions, about His Lordship, about His Rububiyyah, about His beautiful names and attributes, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, learns about Him from His signs in His book, in His law and legislation, learns about Him from His Quran and the ayat and the verses of the book of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, learns about Allah Azza wa Jal from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learns about Allah Azza wa Jal by looking into his own creation, the creation of his own body and his own life, and the experiences that he's experienced in life, seeing the times whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has aided him in the most gentle and the most kind and merciful ways. The most gentle and the most kind and merciful ways. And likewise, looking into the creation around him, seeing the majesty of Allah and the power of Allah and the wisdom of Allah and the mercy of Allah. And now he will know Allah Azza wa Jal. And he will say, Allahu Akbar, and he will mean it. He will say, Allahu Akbar, and he will mean it. He will see the rain coming from the sky and say, Allahu Akbar. He will see the clouds moving through the sky and say, Allahu Akbar. He will see that there are no clouds in the sky whatsoever. He will say, Allahu Akbar. He will see the sky is changing colors on the horizon. He will say, Allahu Akbar. He will see the night proceeding in and the day going away. He will say, Allahu Akbar. He will look at his child and see how it's growing and see how it's speaking. And the like said, Allahu Akbar. He will look at his food that he's eating and realize that it used to be running around on the ground. If he's eating chicken, for example, the chicken not long ago, maybe it's running around in the field. Now it's on his plate and it's fried and it's delicious with salt and pepper on it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And it tastes so good. And before, not long ago, it's running around searching for its own food, having desires, wanting this and wanting that, and wanting this and afraid of that, wanting this and afraid of that. So a person, the more he learns about Allah Azza wa Jal and the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal and the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, the more he will be able to say Allahu Akbar and mean it. The more he'll be able to say Allahu Akbar, and he will mean that in his heart. He will mean that in his heart. And if you look at the prayer, subhanAllah, every time a person is moving from one position to the next position, he says Allahu Akbar. Whenever he begins the prayer, Allahu Akbar. After he recites for the book of Allah, before he makes the ruku', Allah, or while he's making the ruku' and going to the next position, Allahu Akbar. Whenever he's raising, Allahu Akbar. When he's going into sujood, Allahu Akbar. When he's raising from sujood, Allahu Akbar. It's all about glorification and magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About glorification and magnification and honor and reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is very blameworthy. It is very blameworthy to be in salah, in that sacred state, and to make the takbiratul ihram specifically. Entering into that sacred state and saying that with the tongue while the heart is preoccupied with something else. And to say that with the tongue while the heart is preoccupied with something else. So a person, his tongue, he has to say Allahu Akbar, and his heart, it has to mean it likewise. So the person who's thinking about the worldly life, he's thinking about his job, he's thinking about the bank, he's thinking about his bank account, he's thinking about his wife, he's thinking about his child, he's thinking about his dealings, he thinks about somebody owes him, and the likes like this, or thinking what he's going to say to somebody whenever he sees them. He's thinking about this, or he's thinking about that from the affairs of the worldly life. At the same time, with his tongue, he's saying, Allahu Akbar, there's something incorrect here. His heart is not in accordance with this tongue. His heart is not in accordance with his tongue. His inside is not in accordance with his outward appearance. His inside is not in accordance with his outward appearance. So this is something that requires mujahada. That requires mujahada. That a person, he will say Allahu Akbar whenever he enters into the prayer, and he will mean it in his heart. So the one who learns about the Tawheed of Allah, he learns the proper creed and proper belief, this is the one who will benefit from the takbirah. This is the one who will benefit whenever he says Allahu Akbar. So if this meaning goes into the heart, yani this is tawheed. This is tawheed. This is also a statement of tawheed. Allahu Akbar. Yani to sing Allah alone. Nothing is greater than Allah. You think this is great, Allahu Akbar minhu. You think that is great, Allahu Akbar minhu. You love this, Allah is greater than that. You like this, Allah is greater than that. You want this, Allah is greater than that. So the greatest thing to love is Allah, and the greatest thing to hope for is Allah, and the greatest thing to want to reach is Allah, and the pleasure of Allah. You like to have the pleasure of your wife, the pleasure of Allah is greater. The pleasure of Allah is greater. You're afraid of the people rejecting you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept you, then that's greater. And that is greater. So there's nothing except that Allah is greater than that. There's nothing in life except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is greater than that. So the one who realizes this statement and understand what it means, and likewise is able to comprehend that properly, it will go into his heart, and at that time everything else will leave. The love for everything else will leave, and the desire for everything else will leave, and the magnifying everything else, it will go away, and it will be checked by the reins. So now he will love for the love of Allah. He will love for the love of Allah, because Allahu Akbar, and the love of Allah is Akbar, and he will love for the love of Allah. So he will love Allah, and the love of Allah will be greater in his heart, because Allah, He's the greatest, and there's nothing greater than Him. So therefore a person, he will love Allah, and his love in his heart for Allah is greater than his love for anything else. And everything else that he loves it for the sake of Allah. Because Allahu Akbar. Because Allah, He is greater. Allah, He is greater than everything. In the heart of a believer, this is the case. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be the greatest in the heart of a person. He will love Allah. And he will love for the sake of Allah. Beginning with that, loving the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of Allah. And loving the Messenger of Allah more than he loves himself and the rest of the creation for the sake of Allah. And then to show preference to that, that's the test. That is the test. And the one who makes the statement, Allahu Akbar, and he understands that, then he will move upon that. Then he will move upon that. And this will necessitate for the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal to be Akbar in his life. The commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now will become, they will become magnificent in his life. If Allah is Akbar, if he truly believes that Allah, He's the greatest, then the commandments of Allah will become great in his heart. The commandments of Allah will become great in his heart. The legislation about Islam will become great in his heart. The sacred rites of the deen of Allah will become great in his heart. The shahadatain will be great in his heart. It will be great in his heart. He will love it, and he will love for the sake of that. And likewise, the salat will be great in his heart. He will love it. He will love the salat, the obligatory salat especially, the non-obligatory salat, he will love it. Even if sometimes he's weak and not able to establish some of the non-obligatory prayers, he will still love them. And he will love to be able to establish them better. He will love to be able to establish them better. He will love charity, he will love the deen of Allah, he will love it. Because in his heart, Allah is greater than everything. Because in his heart, Allah is greater than everything. Likewise, the prohibitions as well, they'll become great in his heart. Disobeying Allah becomes great in his heart. Looking at the haram becomes great in his heart. Listening to the haram becomes great in his heart. Earning wealth unlawfully becomes great in his heart. It's something that is major in his life now. His heart is affected by these affairs. He's looking around at what's happening around him, and likewise what he's been doing in his own life, and these things become major in his heart because he realizes that Allah, He's the greatest. There's nothing greater than Him. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Literally the meaning is Allah is greater. Allah is greater, meaning greater than everything. Meaning greater than everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that requires effort. And it's only from the favor and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one, he will beg Allah azza wa jal to guide him and to make him firm upon at-tawheed. And in this manner, a person, he will benefit from their prayer. Allahu Akbar. And likewise, outside of his prayer. And the one who truly makes this statement, and he fulfills the right of that whenever he makes that statement by believing it in his heart, and the one whom Allah is greater in his heart than everything else, then at this time he will be able to realize what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he meant whenever he made that great statement. In the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, wa ra'su al-amri al-islam. Wa ra'su al-amri al-islam. And the head of the affair is al-islam. The head of the affair is al-Islam. And al-Islam is al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'ah wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. The head of the affair is to surrender to Allah with tawheed and to submit to Him in obedience and compliance to His orders, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to free oneself from shirk and His people from every aspect. And to love Allah and to love for the sake of Allah and to dislike and hate and turn away from everything that Allah, He does not like. Wa ra'su al-amri al-islam. This is for the one who says Allahu Akbar. This is for the one who says Allahu Akbar. So everything that's beloved now becomes beloved only for the sake of Allah. Everything that was beloved before, from that which is not beloved to Allah, this goes away from the heart whenever the true tawheed enters properly. It will remove that by the permission of Allah. So by realizing this statement and understanding that meaning, a believer will benefit greatly throughout his day, and especially in the times while he's in his prayer, making that statement, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he will benefit from that greatly. the one who makes that statement properly, then now he will put his trust and reliance upon Allah alone. Because anything that he is going to trust or rely upon, Allah is greater than that. And he's going to put all of his faith and his hope in Allah alone. Because anything that he's hoping for, then Allah is greater than that. And he's not only going to fear Allah alone. He's not going to be afraid of the people. He's not going to be afraid of what the people do to him or say to him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than them. And Allah, his authority is supreme and encompassing his entire creation. So therefore now this is from the means to attach one's heart to Allah entirely with love and hope and fear and trust and reliance and submission and surrender by stating this statement and believing in it. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I forget the companion's name now. I just remember this narration. It just came to mind. I think it was Adi ibn Hatim. He was a Christian, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam seeing him wearing a cross, he said, "Take that sanam off of you. Take that sanam off. Take that wathan. Take that wathan off of you. Take that idol off of your neck, ya Adi." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to get him to come to al-Islam. He said, "Ma yufirruka an Islam? What is causing you to run from al-Islam? Ma yufirruka an tuqul Allahu Akbar? Hal hunaka shay'un akbar min Allah? What is stopping you from saying Allahu Akbar? Is there something greater than Allah? Is there something greater than Allah? Nah, there's nothing greater than Allah. Allah is the greatest. So what is stopping you from saying Allahu Akbar? What is stopping you from saying Allahu Akbar? What is stopping you from making this statement? And following what it requires and necessitates. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's greater than everything. Tabaraka wa ta'ala in His life, in His essence, in His attributes, in His actions, in His honor and His status. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's greater than everything. Allahu Akbar. After this, the author, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala wa ba'daha al-istiftah. And after the takbirat al-ihram, one, he will make al-istiftah. Wa ba'daha al-istiftah. And after the takbirat al-ihram is al-istiftah, is the opening dua. And this here is from the sunan of the salah, and not from the obligations. This here is from the sunan, any of the recommended affairs of the prayer, and not from the obligations, nor from the conditions, nor from the pillars. But the author, he mentioned it here, rahimahullahu ta'ala, giving sincere advice. Because likewise, this is from the beautiful means to perfect the prayer and to benefit from the prayer inwardly. To open the prayer in this manner with the takbirah, knowing what it means. And then after that, to make the dua al-istiftah. And this is praising Allah Azza wa Jalla. The one that the author mentioned is all about praising Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is pure praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The istiftahat are numerous. There are a number of opening supplications in the prayer, but the one that the author he chose to mention, rahimahullah, is one of the shortest ones. And it is the people of knowledge, they mention al-thana'u al-mahd. Al-thana'u al-mahd is pure praising of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it's not asking Allah for anything from the good of this life or the hereafter, any personally for an individual who's making dua. Rather, it's all praises of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's all praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. So learning the meanings of the likes of these supplications here and glorifying Allah in that manner with one's heart and tongue in the prayer and the state that he's in this manner a believer he can truly benefit from the prayer. So from that sincere advice, the author, he mentioned this along with these pillars because of its importance and because of the great benefit a believer will find by learning the likes of these supplications, learning to recite them and read them in their prayer, understand and contemplating upon them, and likewise learning what they require and necessitate. Because this is a praise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like the takbirah. And it's great praise of Allah and glorification. And the one who realizes the meaning of that, it requires for him to surrender, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And insha'Allah ta'ala, in our class tomorrow, we will take that supplication and some benefits with regards to that, as a benefits with regards to that. And then after that, the author, he will mention the issues related to the pillars to come after that. If there are any questions or corrections or comments, we can take them now while we're waiting for the Iqamah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.